The reading today is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Well, it's great to be able to share God's word with you on this particular Sunday as we come towards the end of our 40 days with Jesus journey. If you've been with us over this period of time, you'll have had lots of opportunities to engage in this journey. This is our sixth Sunday of teaching on 40 days with Jesus, looking at the encounters of the risen Jesus with his followers. We put out podcasts every single day, and then every Wednesday, a special elongated podcast, which Tom and I have just been having a conversation, ranging over many, many different things. So the 40 days journey finishes on Thursday, the 21st of May, which is Ascension Day. And we're going to be putting out a special NBC Connect podcast on that day to finish this series. I was trying to calculate how much we've been talking about this, and my calculations get me to about 9 hours, if you include Sundays and the daily podcast and the NBC Connect. So if you haven't heard any of them so far, you've still got a bit of time to be able to catch up with it all before we come to the end on Thursday. But today, we're just going to wrap things up as we look at that passage that was read for us by Kerry in Acts chapter 1 and the beginning of this particular story. The final encounter that Jesus has with his followers just before he leaves. And I want to say three things about resurrection as we come to the end of this journey. Firstly, I want us to remember that resurrection is just the beginning. I don't know whether you've been playing board games during this time. I guess board games is probably an apt word for why we've been playing them. But I've been playing a few this time. But one of those games that I haven't played, but I have played before, is Monopoly. And you may have been playing Monopoly. Monopoly is a bit Marmite-ish for me. Either you like it or you hate it. And it always seems to start off well, but then somehow degenerates into a game of power and of treading down those who are losing. That always tends to be me, I have to say. But what I've always found about Monopoly is that there's always hope that you can have with it. Even if you've been to jail a few times, or even if you've had to sell all your luxury hotels in order just to recoup some cash, or even if you've won the crossword competition and got £10 from every person around the table. The one ray of hope always in this game is that you get to go again. And eventually, as you get around the board, go comes into sight and you eagerly reach forward for it. But of course, it's no good stopping on go. It's only when you pass go that you actually get the extra input of money, that extra £200 that you're longing to lose on the next round of the game. You can't stay at go. You've got to get through it. And I think for these first followers of Jesus, they may have wanted to stay in this place, but for Jesus, it was imperative that they went forward from here. Resurrection is just the beginning. If you turn back to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke writes this in this passage. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. There is this sense that this is just the beginning. There's something more about to happen. And even though he is going away, there is still work to be done. And who's going to do it without Jesus being around? Well, verse 3, after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them, the disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Convincing proofs, the kingdom of God, it's here and it's coming. The future is crashing in to the present again. But there's more. Verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wait. Wait for that gift that's coming, because the resurrection is only the beginning. The Father promised something more. Jesus spoke about it. And in a few days, you're going to be immersed in it, immersed in the Holy Spirit. The story has only just begun. It feels a bit like learning maths to me. I was never that great at maths, but when you started your O-level course in my sense, but at GCSEs, I guess now, it was as if everything you'd learnt before suddenly didn't count anymore. Everything started again. And then when you get to A-level maths, the first lesson that they'll tell you, forget what you've learnt in GCSE, we're starting all over again, and everything becomes brand new again. Who knew there was so much to learn about maths? And then if you go on and do a degree in maths, which was far away from where I went, then the lecturers there would say, forget everything that you've learnt before. Now we're going to teach you what maths is really all about. And it's as if all those years of learning, those 14 years until you get to that degree course of maths and double maths, it's as if none of that counted. But of course it did. It gave you the foundation, but there was more to learn. And I think Jesus is saying the same thing. Yo, we've come so far in this journey. You've been with me for 3 years and I've begun to teach you, but it's only the beginning. And once the resurrection happened, then the reality of that beginning began to sink in. Excited by that? Exhausted by it? Well, the 11 seemed to be convinced now. It seems as if they were ready for what was coming next. No more walking away from Jerusalem. They were going to wait there. No more wondering who it is that they're seeing. Was he the gardener? Was he just a fellow traveller? No. They know this is Jesus. No more doubts, Thomas. No more locked doors. No more carrying failure. We're just getting started. And all of them had stayed over the last 40 days since the resurrection, this group of 11 were now ready for what was going to happen next. I wonder what has started in your life during these last 40 days as you've gone back to these encounters with Jesus and his resurrection. I wonder what he started in you. It is just the beginning. But secondly, resurrection is far bigger than you can imagine. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, then they, the disciples, gathered round Jesus and asked him, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What's going to happen next? The question the disciples asked him is still very narrow and very specific. Are you going to restore Israel? Well, Jesus said, not now, not yet. But what is going to happen is that you are going to receive power. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. You'll be clothed in the Holy Spirit, says Luke in his gospel account, Luke 24, verse 49. Something is going to be put on you now, which is going to set you for the future. This is more than you can imagine. You're going to be immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses, way beyond Jerusalem, where this is going to start. To Judea, to Samaria, the people that you don't care about too much now, the people who are different to you, the people you don't always agree with, and then to the ends of the earth. This story has a long way still to go. It's far bigger than you can imagine. The resurrection is more inclusive and it's more incisive than we thought. It's not ours to keep hold of, it's ours to share. In the Old Testament story, God led the people of Israel by a cloud and fire, symbols of his presence, to say, I'm with you. They would often cry out to him at times of great challenge, don't take your presence away from us. And he showed up and he kept them going. I was thinking what that was like, and I was thinking it was a bit like learning to drive a car. Do you remember when you learnt to drive a car and you always had somebody in the passenger seat who was experienced, had already passed their test, always there with you, always there prompting you, always there ready to grab the steering wheel when you ended up on the pavement like I did on my first lesson with my dad? He did keep calm, thankfully. But there was a day when the instructor got out the car and left you to it. They'd told you everything that they knew. They'd tried to help you to drive properly. And then there was that day when you passed your test, even second time. And then they got out the car and you were left alone. It was your turn to get in the driving seat and just drive away. And I'm guessing that's a little bit of how those first followers of Jesus felt. It was now up to them. The instructor was getting out of the car. It was their turn to drive. It was far more than they could ever imagine. I remember shortly after passing my test going on the motorway, and yes, they did have motorways back then as well, and suddenly you were able to go at 70 miles an hour without anybody else in the car. There was power. That was an experience. Never did it had done it before, but now it was up to me. I was in control of this. With all that I'd learned, with all that I'd been taught, with all that I'd experienced, now it was my turn. But of course, Jesus stays with us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. We're never going to be on our own. His presence and his power is going to be in you. So wherever you go, he goes. Whatever you do, he's there, right by your side. In that Old Testament story, there were times when the people of Israel cried out. They wanted to go back to Egypt where things were better. There was a time in Jesus' ministry in John chapter 6, verse 66, where we read that many of those who followed him turned away from him in that moment, saying, "This is too hard for us." But he said to his followers then, and he said it to them again here, and he says it to us today, what about you? Where else can we go? Peter said. You've got the words of eternal life. See, resurrection is bigger than we can imagine because he's going to be with us. He's going to stay with us. It's wider and higher and deeper and broader than we've ever begun to experience. Nothing is ever going to be the same. And the great thing is he trusts us with this message. He entrusts us with his presence and his power. He leaves us and says, come on, we can do this together. empowered by the Holy Spirit. There are no limits. And thirdly, resurrection has amazing results. To coin an advertising phrase, the resurrection gives us wings. It's not something to just see. It's not something just some place to just visit, take pictures of, publish on social media. This is something that has to move us forward. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After he said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus is taken up. He ascends into heaven. The disciples stand there, gaping, mouths open, wondering what on earth has happened as Jesus is enveloped by a cloud. And the two men in white ask the million-pound question, why do you stand here looking into the sky? And I can see the disciples with their mouths open, beginning to realise that this is what Jesus meant. He was going to leave them, but they wouldn't be alone. It's time to give the resurrection legs now. Not confined by time and space now, but moving on and moving forward. With the task you've been given, you'll see amazing results. I'm sure that you can imagine some of the emotions that the followers of Jesus must have been on in this roller coaster 40 days that we've taken the journey with them. They saw him and then they didn't see him. He showed up unexpectedly in unexpected places, but not all the time. It felt like a bit stop and start during that particular time. And when he'd finally gone, it must have felt like the final stop. But no, don't just stand there. Let's get on with it. During these 40 days that we've taken this journey, I hope it's given you some fresh perspectives. I'm sure you've gained some more information, but I pray you've encountered the risen Jesus. But let's not keep looking up into the sky. Resurrection has amazing results if we take our responsibility to get moving, take our share of the task, to go and tell this amazing news. The resurrection changes everything. It transformed the first followers and it can transform us as well. We have the promise of the Father ringing in our ears. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. We've got the presence of Jesus, Matthew 28, verse 20. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And now we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's for all who will trust and believe and have faith in and follow and live like the resurrected Jesus. That's what these encounters have been about. So do you know him? He's indescribable. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him. You can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. This is Jesus, the risen one. Do you know him? Have you met him? Have you encountered him? You can do that right now. And when you've encountered him, you won't stop praising him. And you'll live your life for him and with him. And it will change your life every day. The resurrection has amazing results because Jesus is alive. And over these 40 days, despite all the challenges we've all faced, the locked doors, the locked down, the locked in, we've been able to meet Jesus. I pray you've become more aware of his presence. Have you heard him call your name and reminded you that you are mine? Have you declared with Thomas, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God? Have you received his peace? Have you been recommissioned from a place of failure to start again? Have you answered his call to go and make disciples? I pray that you will continue to encounter the resurrected Jesus and respond to his presence every day. He's with you and he's for you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. Open my eyes so that I can see you. Today, I want to renew my commitment to follow you, to trust you. I turn away from all that I know is wrong and turn towards living a life that pleases you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the free gift of forgiveness. Thank you for resurrection power. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Light a fire in my heart today. Make my life burn brighter and help me to bring the good news of your love to others every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pray that you'll know the power of resurrection at work in you. Jesus has conquered death itself, so be strong, confident, determined, and courageous. God bless you.